I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. I'd like to read from Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to try to be studying this morning about the children of Israel coming out of Egyptian bondage and about the necessity of the children of God coming out of Egypt. God is the one that delivered them out of Egypt, and yet they still had to go out from the land of Egypt. And then after they were delivered from the land of Egypt, they were then warned, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Egypt represents the world and the things of the world and the devil and all the things that are ungodly. And the Word of God teaches that the people of God, in the New Testament, the Word of God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. There's a separation that's supposed to take place when God has delivered us from the bondage of sin and death, when we've been born of the Spirit of God, just like God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and then they had to leave Egypt. There is a responsibility that we all have to leave the sinful things of this world. And that's the analogy that I want us to see this morning, found in the book of Exodus, beginning with chapter 3. I just want to go through a few of the chapters here and show you just the highlights of some of the things that happened in the children of Israel leaving Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, the Word of God says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Who was speaking here? God was the one speaking. To whom was He speaking? He was speaking to Moses and said to Moses, now you come and you're going to bring my people out of Egypt. And then come down to chapter 5. Most of you know they went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh what God told them to tell Pharaoh. And by the way, last week we tried to study about the things that we say and the things that God tells us to say. If you go through and read these chapters that I'm touching on and just hitting a few high points, you'll find that God told Moses everything to say to the children of Israel and everything to say to Pharaoh. God tells His people what to say. In Exodus chapter 5, after Moses has gone to Pharaoh and told him, let my people go, that they may serve me. I want you to listen to the response of Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. I believe there are many of God's people today that are just like Pharaoh right here was, that think that they don't have to obey God. They have such a high esteem of themselves, and they're so self-centered and self-righteous, they say, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? There's a great amount of rebellion in the lives of God's people today. You can see it in children. The Bible tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And children are often rebellious, and it's up to parents to be sure that children stop that rebellious attitude. But parents and adults sometimes are just as rebellious against God as children are. And Pharaoh right here says, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And children of God often say that, I think, today. I don't have to obey God. I don't have to do what God tells me to do. I'll do what I want to do. I want you to know that God is going to bring His people into judgment while they live here in this world. And if you want to disobey God, you can do that. You have that privilege to disobey God if you want to. Just understand there are serious consequences to disobeying God. Did Pharaoh find out there were serious consequences to disobeying God? Yes, he did. So he says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Go to Exodus chapter 8 now. This is the main thing I want us to look at. When God told the children of Israel to come out of Egypt and to go and make sacrifices to him in the wilderness, they were to go out and they were not to be there in Egypt and try to worship God there in Egypt. Did you know that sometimes the world will say, you can be part of us and you can worship God with us. I want you to know, brethren, that you cannot combine the church and the world. You cannot have the church and the world combined together and really worship God. Unless we're going to be separate from the world, and unless we're going to disassociate ourselves from worldly ways and worldly pleasures and worldly activities, then we cannot worship God. And the children of Israel, when Pharaoh finally told them they could worship God, do you know where he told them they could worship God? Where did he finally tell them? You can worship God right here in Egypt. You don't have to go out there in the wilderness. You don't have to separate yourself from the world. You can worship God right here in Egypt. Moses says, no, we cannot worship God here in Egypt. And then Pharaoh began to say, well, I'll let just your men go out there. I want you to notice this in Exodus chapter 8, beginning in verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. What's he mean there, in the land?
Here.
What land? That's right, here in Egypt. You go ahead and you make your sacrifices. Don't separate yourself from the world. Do you think that's probably the way most of us are in our lives, is that we want to worship God, but we don't want to be separated from the world? Is that sometimes a problem that we have? That we want to hold hands with the world with one hand, and we want to hold hands with God with the other hand. It's impossible to do that. Moses understood it was impossible to do that. Moses refused to try to worship God and be a part of Egypt. Verse 26 says, and Moses says, it is not meet to do so. That is, it's not all right for me to stay here in Egypt and worship God. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord, our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will not stone us? We will go, listen carefully to what Moses says now about what they're going to do to worship God. Verse 27 says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. You follow that? You see, if the devil can keep you, if you insist on trying to get away from the world and away from ungodliness. Now, does everybody understand when I talk about getting away from the world that I understand you have to live in the world? Does everybody understand that? The Word of God makes it plain that we have to live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're not to be worldly minded. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You have to live in the world, but you're never to be part of the world. And so it is that Moses says here, and Pharaoh says, I'll let you go, but don't go very far away. You see that in verse 28? Don't go very far away. Now come to Exodus chapter 10, and I want you to notice the wording here. I want you to follow the uncompromising position of Moses. I want you to follow that. First of all, Pharaoh says, you cannot worship God. And then he says, well now, you can worship God, but you have to worship him here in Egypt. And then when Moses said, no, that's not acceptable, then he says, and that's what we're going to read about now, well, you and the men, just the men can go worship God. Look at Exodus chapter 10, beginning in verse 7. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not that yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? You hear the question that Pharaoh is asking Moses? Who's going to go worship God? Who is it that's going to go out there and serve the Lord? Verse 9 says, And Moses said, listen carefully, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Do you see what Moses is saying? Moses is saying, everything that we have, me and all the other brethren, our families, our young and our old, our men and our women, our boys and our girls, our sheep, everything we have is going to go out there. Everything we own belongs to God. Isn't that really probably one of the main thoughts here? Everything that we have has to be consecrated to the Lord. You can't consecrate just a little part of your life and say, well, now, I'm going to give Sunday to the Lord, but the rest of the week I'm not going to be identified as a Christian. I'm going to live like the rest of the world during the week, but I'm going to live a righteous life on Sunday. I'll go to church, and I'll look clean on Sunday, but during the rest of the week, you won't be able to tell any difference in me and the world. I'll tell you, brethren, God will not allow His people to live like the world and compromise with the world during the week. I saw a sign this past week that I thought was very appropriate. It said, A hypocrite is a fellow who is not himself on Sunday. Now, does that make sense to you? A hypocrite is a fellow who is not himself on Sunday. That is, on Sunday, he looks completely different and acts different than he does the rest of the week. Brethren, we as the people of God, we must begin to do like Moses did and say, I'm not going to be the only one that's going to worship God. It's going to be me, and it's going to be everything I have belongs to God. Does 10% of your money belong to God? Yes, it does, in the sense that that's what we're to bring to the house of God, is our tithes. But is there more that belongs to God? Okay, my money belongs to God. My family belongs to God. Everything I have. Where did I get my wife? From God. Where did I get my children? From God. Where did I get everything I have? Everything that we own. Everything we possess. And that's what Moses is saying. Moses is saying, it is not good enough for just me to go out there and worship. It's not good enough. It's not enough for me and the other men to go out there and worship. It's not enough for me and our children to go out there and worship. It's going to be me and the men and the children and the old and the young and our cattle and our sheep, and everything is going to be separated from you. Say that again. Our lives belong to God. Is that scriptural? The Bible says, ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. You belong to God. Everything we have, even ourselves, some people say, this is my body, I'll do with it as I please. Your body, it's not your body. You live in that body, but Jesus bought that body. That body belongs to God. 10%. Is there a temptation? Is there always a temptation in our lives to want to just try to say, well, this part's going to belong to God, and this day I'm going to serve the Lord, and this is going to be part of God's, but not everything else? I want you to think about the children just a minute. First of all, he says in verse 9, what does Moses say is going to go? Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. What did Pharaoh say? Come down to verse 11. This is Exodus chapter 10, verse 11. Pharaoh says, not so. Go ye now that ye are men and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. He's saying, you did desire that just the men would go. They never desired that. That was never Moses' implication. When he says, let my people go that they may serve me. He was not just talking about the men, but that's what Pharaoh says. Moses, all you really asked for was for the men to go. Come down now to verse 24. We're still in Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. What's the implication there? Is Pharaoh beginning to say, because he sees the uncompromising position of Moses, what's Pharaoh beginning to say? Okay, I'm going to let you and your children, and I'm going to let your old men and your young men, I'm going to let all of you people go, but what's he say? I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let your flocks and your herds go. Tell me how that would all translate into our lives. Okay, not your stuff, not your money. The people can go, but the world still wants your money. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? We don't want God to have our money. We don't want God to have our money. Why don't we want God to have our money? We're just so covetous that we don't want God to have our money. So he says, now you can go and you can take your children, but you can't take your flocks and your herds with you. So many times the devil does not want us to worship God with our material blessings. Did you know it's a blessing to be able to give to the Lord? As we passed the collection plate this morning, did you know that there are some people who want to see just how little they have to give, and others want to give. They'll give the 10% that they owe to the Lord that's specifically spelled out in the Scriptures. They give 10%, and then they give more and more and more. Why? Because some people realize and know it's all the Lord's, and God's the one that's blessing me. Did you know you can't outgive the Lord? Did you know that if you... Well, let me go back. Let's start with our families. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Go forward in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. And I want you to notice that Joshua was like Moses. Was Moses refusing to compromise with Pharaoh? How many of you think that... Don't raise your hand. Just ask this question of yourself. How many of you think that you compromised? Did you know that there are children sometimes that are not in the house of God because school is more important than being in the house of God? Did you know that sometimes happens? That children actually are not in the house of God because school is more important than being in God's house. There are all kinds of things that we say, well, this is more important than being in God's house. This is more important than being in God's house. You go ahead and follow that route and see where it leads you. God won't allow you to let school or anything else interfere with your service and worship of God. In Joshua chapter 24, listen to what Joshua said. Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14. The Word of God says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Who is Joshua speaking to? Joshua, just like Moses, is speaking to the children of Israel. I want you to understand that these words are not to the whole world. I want you to understand the Bible is not to the whole world. I want you to understand that we're to be in the world. We're not to be of the world. We're to have an influence on the world. As the people of God, we're supposed to be the light of the what? The light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. If we're what we ought to be, we're going to be out there in the world and we're going to be influencing the world for good, but we're going to be completely separate from the world. And that's what Moses declared. That's what Joshua declares here. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. The Word of God says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Who is to be first in our lives? God is. Are there people that are sacrificing their children today to the world? You know, we don't think that we would ever sacrifice our children up on an altar and say, we're just going to burn them to Molech. We're just going to give them up and put them on a sacrifice. There are many parents today that are just putting their children out there. They're just saying, you can have my children. What are parents doing with their children when they send them to an institution that denies God and won't allow God to be mentioned? What are we doing? We're giving them away. That's exactly right. We're saying now, I'll go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week, we have to give it to the world. We have to let the world have our children. That concept, that idea, that thought is going to lead to the destruction of many of God's children. The world and the things of the world don't... Would Moses just say, now me and the men are going to go out there? Who else did he say is going to be with me? My children, our children are going to be with us. Do we want our children with us or do we want to give them to somebody else? Throwing our children away. Giving them to the world. Is that pleasing to God? Would Moses do that? Would Moses leave his children in Egypt and say, y'all keep my children, but I'm going to go serve the Lord? Absolutely not. Would Joshua? Listen in Joshua chapter 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Why had we better fear the Lord? Listen, if you fear the Lord like Moses did, you will not compromise with the devil and the world. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Are there other little G-O-D-S? Are there little gods in this world? There are many little gods. Verse 15 says, after he says, now, if you want to serve those other gods, you serve them. He says in verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Who do we want to serve? How many days of the week? Are we doing that? Are we serving the God of our fathers? Are we serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are we serving Him every day? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And then here's what Joshua said. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that similar to what Moses said over there? Joshua said, as for me and my house. Could Moses speak for his wife? Could Moses speak for his children? Could Moses speak for everything he had? Moses did, and Joshua did. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Moses and Joshua would not compromise. Moses and Joshua were blessed by God, and anyone that is not willing to do that's not willing to completely dedicate everything you have in service to God, the end is going to be destruction. What does the Scripture say in the New Testament? Husbands, what? Love your wives. Love your wives. Fathers, Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but what? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How many days a week does it take to do that? To bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I have parents tell me often, I took my children, back when I was director of adult education in Griffin, Georgia, the only people that we worked with were people that dropped out of high school or quit high school or were kicked out of high school. And all of those people that came to us, the parents all said the same thing. They all said, we don't know what we did wrong. Our child is good. They just got around the wrong kind of children. That same excuse is given across America today. Times have not changed. It's always somebody else's fault. In reality, brethren, it's no one's fault except the parents' fault when your children get on the wrong path and stay on the wrong path. Let me correct that. Children are going to get on the wrong path, but if they stay on the wrong path, that's the parents' fault. There was a group that met this past week that said, it takes a village to raise a child. I'll tell you, that's an abomination in the sight of God. That's a lie from the devil. It does not take a village to raise a child. All it takes is a man and a woman who are husband and wife that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they love their children. That's all it takes to raise a family and a child. It does not take a village. We want the village to raise the children. Do you know why we've come up with this theory that it takes a village to raise a child? We think that because we don't want to raise our own children. We want the village to raise them. We want to live in adultery. We want to commit fornication. We want women to have children out of wedlock. And then who do they want to raise those children? Who do they want to raise those children? Do they want to raise them? No, they don't want to raise them. They don't want grandma to raise them. They want somebody else, anybody else. They eventually want you and me to take care of their children. I'm telling you, brethren, that in America today, we're in a terrible mess when we think, and I think many Christians have bought into this idea, it takes a village to raise a child. If you can't raise your child, I beg you, give them to somebody that will raise their child. And I want all of you to understand, if you don't raise your child, if your child is not well educated, it is not the school system's fault. I beg you to please stop shifting the responsibility to somebody else. If your children are not well educated, it is you that is failing as a parent. If your children, listen carefully, and I'm not just talking about reading, writing, and arithmetic, I'm talking about the Word of God. If your children don't know the Word of God, if they don't love Jesus Christ, if they have not made a public confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if they believe in God and they have not made that public confession, you, to a great extent, are responsible for that. There's some responsibility and commitment and dedication that we have as parents that we're neglecting. Moses said, me and my house. Joshua said, me and my house. We will all serve the Lord. Every part of us is going to serve the Lord. Church-going people's children are going to the dogs. Did you know that? Is that a biblical statement about children of God going to the dogs? You turn and you read 2 Peter, and the Word of God tells us there about the children of God that knew the way of righteousness, and then they turned back and they went the other way. He says that it's the proverb is fulfilled, the dog is returned to the vomit. And I believe, brethren, if you go home and read that carefully, you'll find that's talking about children of God that have known the way of righteousness and have seen God and have known God and have heard what was right and did not do what God told them to do. I wish there was some way for me to impress the seriousness and the urgency that we're facing in our... I'm not talking about in America. I'm not talking about in Washington, D.C. I'm talking about in the families, in this church. We are in a very, very critical... I weep and I cry when I see the direction that some of the children in this church are going. It makes me mourn. And unless every parent here reaches the point that you're willing to say like Moses and you're willing to say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord and everything we have belongs to the Lord. And we will serve the Lord 7 days a week. And we're going to stop being hypocritical. And our children are going to learn. They're going to learn the Word of God. You know what would happen if in our Bible study hour we start giving out homework that you've got to do? I did that one time here. You know that? Gave out homework. You know what I heard? Our children don't have time to do homework from the Bible. They're too busy doing homework in school. Well, fasten your seatbelt, brethren. Your children don't have time to learn the Word of God. Your children are too busy learning things in school to study the Word of God. I had a grown man last night that said, Brother Billy, he said, And this was not somebody here in Waycross, but he said, Brother Billy, I'm sorry, I just don't know anything about what we really believe. The man in great a position of authority among Primitive Baptists. And he says, you know, I was raised in the church, but I can't really defend what we believe. Did you know that's true of many people today? They can't really take the Word of God and defend what we believe. What's the point of Moses refusing to worship God in Egypt? What's the point of Moses refusing for just him and the men to go out there and worship? What's the point of Moses refusing for just him and the men and his families to go out there and worship? What's the point of Moses saying it's going to be me and my brethren and our young people and our old people, our women and our children, and our flocks and our herds? Everything we have is getting out of Egypt. The point there is, unless we're going to come out from among them and be separate, then we're going to be judged severely by God. May God help us. May God help you, and may God help me to realize the seriousness of what we're facing in our lives today is my prayer for Christ's sake.